Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I have one of my friends, Sarah, joining us. And Sarah is the master declutterer. She has a business called the Decluttering Club. And she's going to share with us some ways today to declutter our lives, declutter our businesses. She's also going to give us a little sneak peek into building the business that she has, because it's an amazing one. I met Sarah through a mastermind that we're both a part of, and we're going to talk about it all. So thank you for joining us, Sarah.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I love talking about this stuff, and I love what you do for women and for business owners. So I'm just thrilled to be here.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your journey into entrepreneurship and kind of how you got started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I've kind of always had business really since my oldest son was born 23 years ago. I have been running a business in some form or other. And this is like my third business. But the way that this one really got moving, it was really like a very part-time thing. But then I got divorced. And, you know, when you get divorced, you got to start supporting yourself. You need to have a full-time income. And I have four kids, right? Mm-hmm. I have four kids. So I was like, oh, crap. Now we need to get serious. We need to make this work. And that was when I started really diving into a lot of courses and masterminds and just like up-leveling my own skills and thinking like, where can we go with this? Like, what do people need? And, you know, like what's possible?
Yeah, I love that. And so how did decluttering happen? Were you just passionate about it from your own perspective? Like, how did that begin?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I'm passionate about a lot of stuff. Like, I used to write about a lot of different things on my blog. You know, I read about parenting and recipes, which is hilarious because I don't cook anymore. But I kind of wrote about all kinds of different things. But it turned out that the thing that really struck a nerve with my audience the most was decluttering. And that was like the first post that I had that went viral, you know, back in the day when you could get things to go viral, like pretty easily.
Yeah.
That was something that just went through the roof and people responded, right? They responded. They would come back to me and say, I did what you said and it worked. And I thought, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like that's super fun, right? Like, we all like to give advice, but you know, your friends may or may not actually want your advice, but these people, you know, they love to hear what I was saying and it was working for them. So that's when we really started focusing in and doubling down. And I kind of eliminated a lot of the other things, although we do bring them up in our membership, but really we start in and our cornerstone is the decluttering and the organizing.
So what do you think is the number one mistake people make when they start to declutter, they consider decluttering?
Yeah, people think, first of all, they think they have to do everything, right? They think they have to do it in a weekend. They think they need to throw everything out. People meet me and they think, oh, you know, they say to me, like, oh my God, you don't want to see my garage. And I'm like, dude, that's okay. Like, I am not going to judge you. You don't have to get rid of anything you don't want to get rid of.
Yeah.
You know, but the key is to only keep the things that you actually do want to keep. And so many people are hanging on to things that they don't even like, you know, and they don't know how to get rid of it or it's kind of buried. So
totally,
that's where we start. Like you don't have to do it all in a weekend and you don't have to get rid of anything you don't want to get rid of.
Yeah, I had a style expert on in a previous episode, and that's what we chatted about, just like how our wardrobe is something that we hang on to all the time, even if it's not who we are in today's day and age or how we want to present ourselves to the world now. So many of us have clothes just sitting in our closet or in our basement that haven't fit us for so long, and it's like, just get rid of them.
Yeah, right. And then the guilty feelings come up, you know, and the, oh my gosh, I spent money on it, or, you know, I'm planning to lose that 10 pounds, but it's been like sitting in like, you know, making me feel bad every time I get dressed for the last 10 years.
Right, right. So, yeah, it's not doing anything good for my mental health. And so I think of when I think of decluttering, obviously, you know, we're talking to a lot of business owners. And so it's like, how could we declutter the business in order to either provide a better client experience or just clear some of the mental capacity for the business owner?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. You know, we have a friend and he says that it's our job to eat complexity, right? Like we want to make our businesses as simple as possible for our customers, for our clients, right? And the more we can make things simple and easy for them to execute and consume, the better, right? Like I'm literally always looking around my business and thinking like, what can we get rid of? How can we streamline? What can we eliminate? Like what's the most important thing here? You know, if we do 10 things, which two are the most important? Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe we eliminate some of the others, maybe we don't, but let's just like keep having that conversation because, you know, it's the same thing in our homes as it is in our businesses. You know, people don't need everything. Like with me, right? Like I used to write about everything. I mean, that's an exaggeration, right? But
right.
Then
it's
when
a couple of things.
Yeah. When you pick and when you focus, you can go so much further, like 1,000 times further. So you can do all the things if you want, or you can do like a couple things really well.
Yeah.
And then you go deep in.
And so for a lot of them that have brick and mortar clinics, what would you suggest they start with? Is it like going through their office and maybe looking at things that they no longer use? Is it cleaning out cabinets? Like what is going to actually clear space for them?
Oh my gosh. I think probably if they haven't gone through and taken a look at their spaces, you know, are there things in the way? Like, are there things that are making it hard for their employees to do their jobs? Is it hard to find stuff? Because if you feel like your closet or your back office or your whatever is cluttered and disorganized, you're going to show up differently. You know? I mean, even if you can find the things that you're looking for, if you're kind of irritated, mm-hmm. then what does that look like when you are working with a patient or with a client? Get rid of that old stuff. You know, like that will literally just up-level everything. All you have to do is clear out the old. You're going to feel so good. You know, you're going to feel light.
Yeah.
And I feel like organized.
Yeah. I think too, especially working with women, it's like if you're working from home and your house is a mess or you have dirty dishes, like I know women that are like, I can't work on anything. I can't even open my laptop until I have a completely clean, clear space. If you feel that way, I mean, you have to look at your work environment too and just be like, hey, maybe there's a project that I've been putting off and it's like going through the closet and going through the storage or clearing out old patient files that have been here for 20 years, whatever it may be, just cleaning up some of that also, I think, breeds an environment that can be creative, right? Sometimes when we have so many things cluttering our mind, cluttering our space, there's no new creativity that can come in because we only have so much brain capacity.
Oh, 100%. Right. Like even just clearing out those files, you may be hit with an idea.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I have this amazing idea. And, you know, if you're so busy, like pushing, and you never had to take time to like, you know, it's housekeeping, right? In your business. If you're not doing that, then you have no space to think and get creative, like you said.
So with being a single mom and managing your family and managing a business, like how do you keep up with all of that and also like a clean home that is decluttered?
Well, you know, I mean, so many things, right? Like I have help, right? Mm-hmm. We have a housekeeper. We have, you know, cleaners who come. I love them to pieces. They are so, so valuable. And I think sometimes we think as women, we're supposed to do it all.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with a friend of mine. I was like, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to be the one, you know, vacuuming the floor and doing the laundry. Like you're the one who is preparing the home
right,
for your family, for yourself, but doesn't mean you have to be like holding the laundry. It really doesn't. So I get as much help as I can. We have decluttered, right? Like the kids are kind of easy in terms of that because they're just super attached to stuff. Like they don't have a ton of stuff. They do have their fair share. And then we have systems in place. You know, I mean, like, just like you have systems in your business, you can implement systems at home to make life go more smoothly, right? And whether it's the after school drop off or it's sports practices or it's cleaning up the kitchen after dinner, we have a little system that we use and it, you know, we just do it reliably every single day and it gets done. So, you know, it's not always pretty.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be perfect, right? It's a work in progress. And that's one of the things too. I get asked all the time, like, Steph, how do you manage everything you're doing? And I'm like, I want to be absolutely abundantly clear that I don't do it all myself. I am not some superhero that does every aspect of my home and every aspect of my business. I find really talented, equipped people to help me and support me and with stuff at home and with stuff at the businesses, right? Because I want to make sure those systems are in place. I want to make sure that everything is predictable. I personally feel like the less variables within your business and within your home, the more predictability, the more scalability, all of that. And so I'm constantly looking at ways to minimize variables. And just like you said, my son is getting ready to start Montessori in the fall. And that's one of the things I was like ordering him some back to school clothes the other day. I was thinking of how when I was a child and my mom literally made me lay out my clothes the night before because she was trying to minimize variables. She's like, I know these girls are crazy in the morning. They're grumpy. They're hormonal. Like, even at 15, she was like, do you have your outfit picked out for tomorrow? And I'd be like, oh my God, mom, shut up. But the amount that that streamlined her day in the morning. And I was thinking, I was like, oh, this is going to be a fun practice to teach my son Jet at even two. Hey, let's pick out our outfit. What do we want to wear tomorrow? And it's such a simple thing, but it's like, that is a system within your home. You know, like whoever puts the last thing in the trash that needs to take it out or the recyclables. And it's just like all these little systems that I think you can also teach your children from a very young age to help be a process of decluttering. Staying organized at home is huge.
Yeah. And I love that you're doing that with him at two. I think so many moms think we're supposed to do this for our kids. Like, we love them. We're supposed to take care of them. We think that means that, you know, we have to do it all and, you know, they're going to be messy. They're not going to do it right. You know,
totally.
So we take away that opportunity to teach them and then spend quality time with them. People tell me I don't have time to declutter because I want to spend time with my kids. And I'm like, you are missing the point. Mm-hmm. Bring those kids with you, even if they're 2 years old. They can put stuff in the toy basket. They can load the dishwasher. Like, they
totally
can play with horse. Do that with them.
Yeah.
Because then you are spending time with them, right? They understand, you know, it's not just mom's job or dad's job to do this. Like, everybody, which is around here, and they learn these skills. Like, I work with adults who really literally haven't learned how to take care of their homes in a way that they love and that makes them feel good. So 100% start with them as soon as possible.
Yeah. And you think about our generation of like wanting to really do the self-work and figure out like, hey, what are some patterns that I need to reprogram or switch? What are some subconscious beliefs that I'm holding on to, you know? Yes. And it really has a lot to do with our environment growing up. And whether that's your money mindset, whether that's how you view hard work, whether that's how you view a clean home, like all of that starts at an early age. So I think being able to teach our children that like the less things you have, the more clear you can think, but also like be a part of creating your environment and making it what you want it to be is such a good lesson that we can pass on to them. How do you feel like, if we're switching a little bit to the business side of things, I know that you host these amazing challenges. You get a huge turnout for people. How did you start thinking about like, oh, I want to host these challenges for my community?
It really evolved, right? I mean, I think the first one we did, it was just a bunch of Facebook Lives. You know, I thought, hey, let's do this together. Like, I have some things to teach, right? Because I do. And so it started out like that. And then it's just grown. We've built on, we've added on over time to now where we have it super dialed in. And we do, we have 30,000, we have 40,000 people doing these challenges with us and getting like incredible results. So just kind of a building and then also like taking away, right? Mm-hmm. Constantly saying, is this adding value to this challenge? Or how can we make this even easier for people to understand and learn, right? That's my job, is to figure out how can I teach this better? So it's been like, we've done the same challenge probably 10 to 12 times. And now we have actually two that we rotate through. We just keep doing them over and over and over again. And they get better every time.
Yeah, I love that. And for any business owner listening, it's like repetition is where things become easier in business, right? I know so often, especially if you're in that visionary role, you're like, I need my next big idea. I need a new thing. I need a new marketing thing. And it's like, but if what you're doing works really well, just build on that and grow it. You don't have to come up with an entirely new idea. You can take something that's working well and just expand on that. So I love that that's essentially what you've done with your challenges.
Absolutely. You know, the first time, right? Maybe it's great, but it could be so much better, mm-hmm. right? And nobody wants to do something 10 times, 20 times. Right? Like, who wants to do that?
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't sound fun, but we always have a blast, right? And it's so easy. I mean, it's not necessarily easy, but at least I don't have to reinvent the wheel.
And you have a process. You
know, I have a process. I have my content. I just show up and I just get to show up and lead and be myself and, you know, do our lives. So it's not that hard for us to pull off another challenge because we have so much that we get to reuse, right? And people love it. We have people that do these challenges like every single time.
And so your challenge is pretty affordable, isn't it?
Well, actually, we're running them for free right now.
Oh, they are.
Yes, we're doing them for free. And then we have paid upgrades. We found that actually, like, we attract probably 1,000 times more people when we do it that way. And we actually make more money.
So. That's amazing. That's such a good lesson too, is like so many people in entrepreneurship are looking to monetize every aspect of their business. But mm-hmm. I think they undervalue and underestimate, like, if you just show up and provide quality content that's valuable, just like a podcast, right? We both have podcasts. Mm-hmm. If you can show up and provide quality information for your audience, like, they're going to want to work with you in some other capacity in the future.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. And like, you're not going to be giving away like chiropractic sessions for free all day.
Right.
Like, you can't do that, but I can talk to 1,000 people in a challenge. So you really have to like be careful how you do it. And then you have to be able to sell, right? Like, and I know that's something you teach. Like, you can't just, you literally cannot just show up and give everyone great stuff and then think, okay, they're just going to flock and like hand me
money. Try to hand me their credit card. Like, here you go. That's not how it works.
Right. So be careful. And I know people have heard that before. They think, oh, I just have to show up and give great content. But that's like, how many influencers do you know that have
huge audiences? They're not making any money.
Yeah, they're not making any money. Mm-hmm. They need to be able to sell.
Absolutely. That's one of the things kind of in that influencer realm, online marketing. It's like, these people have an amazing following and clout, but they don't have anything to sell. So there's never a call to action. And so actually what they end up doing is building up all these other brands where there's nothing wrong with that, but that's not theirs to keep. You know, that's a partnership that they have. And that's such a good point. I think often as women, especially, we want to be just accommodating and helpful and nurturing. And sometimes that call to action or that ask, like, hey, if you want to move this forward, or if you actually want to take action, here's what you need to do, can feel a little uncomfortable.
I mean, I like to think about it. If I have the answer to someone's problems, like, it's my duty
to
sell them something. Like, you know, why would I hold back on that? We just got an email this morning. Oh my goodness. This one like just literally blew me away. She said, you know, she's been with us for several years, this woman. She's done like all kinds of different programs that we have. She said, I've never commented. I just want to tell you, like, you've completely changed my life. And now I can have people over, you know, I feel completely different about my home. And, you know, thank you. You know, what if I hadn't sold to that woman?
Totally.
You know, it is literally our duty if we have the answer to a problem. And, you know, so I feel like it's not an imposition. Like, mm-hmm. people want what I'm selling.
Absolutely. That's what I love to say. I love to say it's your moral obligation. If you know you can change that person's life for the better, it is your moral obligation to tell them about what it is you do and how it can affect their life. And obviously my audience is a lot of practitioners, chiropractors, dentists, physical therapists, things like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, a lot of us have these resources and these services that could potentially change somebody's life for the better. And we're just sitting on it thinking people are going to come to us. Like, we have to tell them what it is we do.
Yeah. Or, you know, we feel like, oh, I don't know, have I offered too many times? Or I feel kind of weird about it. Like, if you feel weird about it, then figure out why you feel weird about it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you have to have a good product.
That's huge. Like, you have to believe in what it is you're doing and what it is you're selling. Because if you don't, even working with some clients that want to diversify into consulting, if you don't think that what you're doing is life-changing, it's going to be really hard to sell that. But when you get started and you have these testimonials flocking in and you have all these people saying, hey, oh my gosh, you changed my life. I've never thought about it this way before. It's really easy to be like, okay, more people need to know about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And you build up your confidence by going through that process.
Exactly. Right?
Like, you don't necessarily know. Like, when I started teaching decluttering, I wasn't really sure. I was like, I think this works pretty well. I'm not sure, you know? And it was kind of hard for me to sell something at the beginning. But now I'm like, all day, every day, like, everybody needs to do this. This is what you need to do. And here's why. And it will work. Like, you know, because I know I have the proof and I have no doubt if someone's willing, it's going to work, you know, and it's the same way with your clients as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think, as we kind of tie up here, I love to ask all of my guests, what does wealthy mean to you?
You know, I mean, I think I do feel wealthy, right? Like, I mean, I have more income at my disposal than ever. Like I said, single mom, 2017, part-time job. And so I've come really far. But I think for me, it means being able to do what I want with my time. Mm-hmm. Like that is just true freedom. And so it's not necessarily like a dollar amount, mm-hmm. but you know, I have this business that supports my family and my employees' family and like all of the, you know, literally hundreds of thousands of people that we reach. And so I feel like, you know, I have the resources available to do the things that I want to do in my life. And I think that's kind of like where I like to go with that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's interesting, especially talking to women on here, that most of us value time just as much as we value an income or a dollar amount, if not more, right? Because we know, especially if you do have children, you're like, wow, time really flies by. I want as much time with them as I possibly can have. And also, I remember one of the times we were at one of the masterminds together and you were like, hey, if I have 2 hours every morning to wake up and journal and read or listen to a podcast and have my coffee, like I am happy. And granted, I'm drowning in toddlerhood. So my mornings are not my own right now. I am very excited about the day that they will be my own again. Yeah. But that is like, even hearing that, I was like, oh my God, I can't wait till my life lines up where that is a reality, because I will be so grateful for that. You know, I'm very grateful for the season I'm in. And there's nothing better than his little arms wrapping around me first thing in the morning. But I do miss that time of like self-reflection first thing in the morning. And so it's like, that's wealth too. Spending your day how you want to, helping people that really excite you and that you know you're making a difference. I think so often we underestimate when we're looking at things only through a business lens or metrics or stats. We underestimate the ripple effect of what we do and the ripple effect that has. Not only, like you said, the clients that we're all helping, that we're all serving, but team members that we're making a difference in. You know, my husband and I, we employ close to 20 people. And we had a conversation the other night at dinner and we were like, did you ever think either of us were going to be like literally paying people and sustaining their life and their lifestyles for that many people? That's a really amazing feeling. And the fact is like, I never knew that that was going to be a reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing, right? Like now you know that, and just like being at the level that you're at, it allows you to say no to things.
Totally.
Like that is wealth. Like you don't have to decide, do I want to go to work or do I want to eat? Like, mm-hmm. and that, you know, that isn't the case for everybody. So I take that very seriously. I have freedom to say yes or no to do something.
Yeah. There's power in that, power in having a choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm curious, what does it mean to you to be like, what's your definition of being wealthy?
It's very similar. I want to spend my time how I want to. I want to be able to say yes to all of the experiences that I want to experience in this lifetime. And I want to provide a legacy for my family. My husband and I didn't really come for much. And to me, I want to set our son up and future children up for the ability for them to get to spend their time how they want to without also raising an entitled brat. I think that's a very fine line that I'm going to be navigating over. Like, hey, I want to give you all of these resources and more, but I still want you to be respectful and kind. Mm-hmm. And we're working on that. We're doing good. We say please a lot right now. So at 2 years old, we're doing okay. But yeah, I think that's what it means to me, and getting to spend as much time with my family that I want to, nurturing myself as well during that process. Because as moms in entrepreneurship, it is very hard to sometimes find that time for yourself. So I think being truly wealthy means that I'm also able to focus on myself.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. And you know, being able to buy the things you want.
Yeah.
You know, like without worrying about it. I was just looking at my budget today. And I was like, you know, I have these categories, like, you know, clothing for me. And I was like, I don't need these anymore. I think I've just like, you know, if I want something, I'm just going to buy it.
Yeah.
I'm about to go. I mean, we're not talking like houses and cars, right?
Right.
But like, it's really not a big deal anymore.
And that's a beautiful place to be in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really good place to be in.
It really is. It blows me away. So.
And to anybody listening to this, like, we didn't start out that way, right? Mm-hmm. We've built, we've put our blood, sweat, and tears in. And so like, if you're in the thick of putting your blood, sweat, and tears in, and you want to get to that point where you can go to Target and buy whatever you want, not really care about the bill, like, you are doing it. Stick it out. You will make it just like we have. And we're still learning and growing as we evolve. So thank you so much for joining me. It was such a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Amazing. You're welcome. I'll see you guys next time. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.